Bible talk titled Completeness on Colossians 2, 6-15 was recorded at Robena on Sunday, the 9th of August 2020. It's the fourth sermon in our new series in Colossians, Renewed Image.
A former heavyweight champion boxer of the world, the eloquent and insightful Mike Tyson, so perspicaciously once said, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face." Has life punched you in the face? The search for personal identity is a modern problem invading every area of our lives. Decision and anxiety all stem from self-image. It keeps psychologists gainfully employed. Nationally, we should probably all be on Zoloft, but we're still searching for our own collective identity because we know what it means to be un-Australian, but what does it mean to be an Australian? Are we the sum total of our history? Are we defined by our achievements? Stories about resistance during the colonial settlement and trench warfare on Turkish peninsulas all makes for good television, but are these the narratives that define our identity? Is this who we are? Questions about sexuality, gender, and relationships have raised all kinds of personal identity issues for us. Like buying a bike, I guess. We suffer from an identity crisis. We're blind when it comes to our own self-awareness. There's some self-awareness there, isn't there? Prior to the most recent cultural revolution and this current economic and health crisis, if you ask people to identify themselves, who are you, you'd likely hear responses like, I am my profession, I am my achievements, I am my appearance, I am my ethnicity, I am my sexual preference. Our culture defines itself externally by its achievements, its appearance, and its preferences, belief shaping our behaviour. Behaviour, a reflection of the things that we believe. But everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. A global pandemic, record unemployment, tighter restrictions than the straitjacket, suddenly a global health crisis becomes a global economic crisis, which turns to a personal identity crisis. Whether you're in your midlife or not, our world is currently in the middle of a crisis. Why? Because life punches you in the face, unsettling all of our plans, our perceptions, and our perspectives. Impulse purchases distract us. Reality escapes with entertainment, binges and benders designed to suppress our feelings and our emotions. So who are you when life punches you in the face? It's confusing and confronting, isn't it? How do you answer the question, who am I? Well, Paul begins by telling the Colossians who Jesus is. We're in our series on Colossians called Renewed Image, and so far Paul's been very clear about Jesus' identity. Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation. He is the image of the invisible God. That's what we've seen, isn't it? In heaven and on earth, and visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things created through him and for him. And Jesus is Lord of the new creation, first to rise again, never to die again. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the new community in the new creation. All things, in all things, Jesus is preeminent. He is number one. But what's that got to do with me, I hear you ask? Well, it's got everything to do with you. The good news of the new creation is reconciliation for all of creation. The Lord of creation and the new creation is also the Lord of our redemption. All that he creates for himself is now all that he reconciles to himself through his cross. It's the good news that Paul preaches and the good news that the Colossians believe. So when life punches you in the face, Paul doesn't want you to be flattened by deception, but to continue as you started. In fact, he tells you to hold on to your tradition. Look there with me at verse 6. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It's not that the Colossians have received Christ Jesus as Lord, it's that they've received Christ the Lord. These verses aren't about receiving Jesus. It's not the language of personal acceptance that Paul's going for. He's not talking about making a decision for Jesus or accepting Jesus into your heart, as good as that is. The Colossians have already received Jesus because of what they've received in the gospel. The Colossians have the apostolic revelation from God. Christ Jesus is the Lord. It's the gospel Paul proclaims to everyone everywhere, the gospel of which he says he's become a minister. The Colossians have received a tradition. Paul says continue to live in this tradition. The gospel that Paul preached in Asia Minor is the same gospel Epaphras first spoke in Colossae, is the same gospel the Colossians believed and received, is the same gospel passed down to you. This tradition, this revelation, this revealed mystery of God, Paul says, walk in it. But many in Colossae are trying to deceive them. Many claim they've had other revelations and visions, claiming to possess other spiritual wisdom and knowledge. What they're saying has an appearance of wisdom. They use fine-sounding arguments. They go into great detail about the things that they've seen. But they speak with a false humility, an overconfidence, puffed up with spiritual ideas from their fleshly minds. Because you see, friends, in Christ Jesus, the Lord, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is the gospel you receive. This is the gospel handed down to you. Walk in it, says the apostle. You see, what we believe must shape our behavior. Our conduct needs to be a reflection of the things that we confess. If Christ Jesus is Lord, Paul instructs the Colossians to live like he is. And so here's how you do it. Look there again at verse 7. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Walk in the gospel you've heard. Grow in the gospel you've been taught. Live the faith you say you believe. Gospel you learned and received, proclaimed by Paul, delivered by Epaphras. The root digging, foundation laying, faith providing guarantee of the Christian life is to walk and to grow in the gospel, the revealed and proclaimed knowledge of God. So when life punches you in the face, read your Bible. Walk in the revealed mystery of God. When everyday events throw you for a loop, remain in the knowledge, friend, that Jesus is Lord. Because only by walking in the gospel can we live a life that pleases God. Look there, verse 10. Chapter 1, verse 10. Sorry, the words are here on the screen behind me. Chapter 1, verse 10 says this: walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Because that's what the gospel does in us, isn't it? It grows everywhere it goes. That's what the gospel does, Christ in you. Consistency in our character, conduct, and our confession. It grows us in the knowledge of God. It produces fruit in our lives that please God. You see, that's why we're a church that teaches the Bible. That's why we need everybody at our church to be involved in a growth group. We want you to know how to live for God, how to live in a real and practical way for Jesus. Not just knowledge and ideas about God, but practical baby steps, bearing fruit, Christian living. Only by growing together in him can we know together how to live for him. Only by being strengthened in our understanding can we know how to walk with the Lord. Gospel needs to take deep root in our lives so that we can be thankful people who produce gospel fruit. Paul wants the Colossians to know God. He wants them to know how to live for him. Because sometimes life punches us in the face. Look there at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, but not according to Christ. And do you remember where we're up to in this letter? What we've seen so far in Colossians, we've already seen that we are a new creation. Jesus is the Lord of the new community. He is the head of the church. We've seen that he's the new Adam. We've entered into a new Eden by his one act of rebellion. The first Adam brought hostility and alienation. But by his blood shed on the cross, Jesus, the second Adam, the final Adam, brings us peace and reconciliation with God. The fullness of God, friends, in the fullness of Christ, is now the fullness of God in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Jesus are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge hung on a tree. God has spoken to us. As you've received him, now continue to walk in him. But in verse 8 comes this warning that we need to be careful. There's a deceiver amongst us. He comes to take us captive and into exile. His fine-sounding arguments, they are deceptive and they are hollow. It's not for nothing, friends, that this imagery is here. This is still a matter of life and death. You see, sometimes life can derail us. Sometimes things don't go our way. Sometimes we can be fooled. Life can punch you in the face. And when life knocks us off course, when everything feels like it's in free fall or in lockdown, when everyone else is offering you their opinion, I want you to listen very carefully to what they're saying. Do what's right for you. Be true to yourself. Whatever makes you happy. See, Paul says all these things are based on human tradition. Live and let live. What goes around comes around. It's written in the stars. You see, it's all based on spiritual mysticism, says Paul. It's got an appearance of wisdom. It looks wise, but it's hollow and it's empty, and it will take you captive. God moves in mysterious ways? No, he doesn't. He's revealed himself to us fully in all his fullness. Look there, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness, can't get any fuller than that, the whole fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and you've been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. The fullness of God is now the fullness of God in us. You've been given everything in Jesus. Nothing has been withheld. You've been brought to fullness, Christ in you. Friend, you lack nothing. So don't be taken captive. Don't be deceived. Everything in life will submit to Jesus as Lord. The new creation, it's already started. The old is gone, the new has come. See it with me, verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Circumcised and buried, raised again from death to life with him. That's what Jesus does with us, friends. That's why we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Hey, have you ever noticed that those who insist on people getting baptized never insist on circumcision with the same kind of passion? What are these verses actually saying to us? Circumcision done by human hands is the removal of the male foreskin, which reminds me of a joke that I have no intention of telling from a pulpit. It's a sign of belonging to God's Old Testament people, circumcision, a symbol of God's promises to Abram. 8-day-old boys had to be circumcised. That's the circumcision done by human hands. But ours isn't done on an operating table. It's not done under useless anaesthetic by some suburban butcher offering discount procedures to men. Christ does our circumcision. And before you head to the bathroom to check this morning, Jesus doesn't just remove a small piece of skin, he removes everything. Not just the foreskin, but the former skin, the old self, the whole self cut away by Christ. The old skin ruled the flesh. The old skin ruled by the flesh is removed. The old self is now gone. And so, friends, if the language around circumcision is symbolic, which we hope it is, right? So is the language around baptism. Buried with Christ in baptism, the old self put to death in Christ, death submerged, raised again from death into newness of life. Christ raised from dead to life for us. You see, the old is gone, the new has come. Through faith in Jesus, we've been brought to fullness. And all of this, it's the work of God in us. Because, well, we were dead. Look there, verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. See, we've been freed from our sinful nature, no longer threatened by forces of evil, dead in sin, alive to God in Christ. It's all the work of God in us. Our sins have been pardoned. The charges have been dropped. The condemnation carried away. Jesus, the scapegoat, bears our guilt. Our debt has been completely cancelled, paid in full by Christ himself. Friends, it's all the work of God in us. It's been done for us by Jesus. Now raised to life in Jesus, we've taken on a new identity. We become new people. Nothing can stand against us now. Look there, verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, that is the cross. The rulers and authorities created through him and for him are now being brought back into submission to him, humiliated for their subversion by his humiliation and his victory on the cross. The one who was stripped of his life has stripped them of their power and pride over us. Who am I? Who am I is who you are in Christ. You are not the sum total of your preferences. You're not the sum total of your achievements. You are who Christ has made you. New creation brought to fullness, forgiven and made free by his achievements. Being renewed in the image of our Creator, the old has gone, friend. The new has now come. That's who you are. Nothing stands to condemn us anymore. It's all been defeated, all carried away. All the guilt and shame of our lives triumphed over by the triumph of his cross. Sometimes life knocks us off balance. Sometimes life can throw us off course. Has life punched you in the face? What a stupid question. Of course it has. If the uncertainty of our world has taught us anything, it's that we are so clearly not in control of anything. We so desperately want to be in control of everything, but we have no control over our lives or the events in them. The sins and the temptations of Adam in Eden become our sins and our temptations here on the Gold Coast. Don't be taken captive again. Don't be sucked in by it. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Lord of creation and the Lord of redemption is the Lord who is over all that is uncertain and remains unclear. And all that is uncertain, friend, has now been revealed to you. Jesus is the head over every ruler and every authority. Christ Jesus is Lord. So let me ask you this morning, How is your walk with him? Will you pray with me? How thankful we are, our God, that you have taken us from death to life, that you've removed our sin, that you've cancelled the record of debt that stood against us, that the charges have been dropped, that we are free, made new, alive together with your Son. And we thank you that in him all the fullness of God now dwells, and all of your fullness dwells in us because of him. We give you thanks, our Father, that nothing can stand against your people in Christ Jesus. We ache with our world because it's aching. Tragedy upon tragedy, disaster upon disaster, crisis mixed with more crisis. Lord Jesus, help us to know who we are in you. Help us to stand firm in the knowledge that you are Lord of all and that all is being brought into submission to you. Thank you that you've revealed to us your plan in a world that is chaotic and confusing. And as we walk, we ask that you'd help us to walk with you, to walk in the knowledge that you are Lord. Bring every thought and every emotion that we have captive to Jesus. Grow us in our love for you, Lord God, that we might live as your people in the new creation. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.